Good morning. Let's begin our worship with some singing. Would you stand and sing with us, please?
One, two, three.
Welcome and greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning. I'm so glad you're at worship with us today. My name is Cheryl Broom, and I am the senior pastor here, and I see a lot of angels in the house today. Wow. I was talking about them. But you don't think they're angels, Mac? Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you to do a couple of things. One, hopefully you got this announcement sheet that tells you everything that's going on in the life of the church, along with a code for you to go online. I don't see it on here. And you can look at our calendar. This little blue thing, did you get one of these? This is not for you. It's for you to give away. Our cantata is next week, and this is an invitation to a miracle. So if you have friends or neighbors that you'd like to invite, just give them one of these little sheets. If you didn't get one, let us know and we'll get one to you. Last thing, blue card, yellow card. Sounds like a Dr. Seuss rhyme. Blue card is for guests. If you're a new guest here, please give us a little information about yourself. And the yellow card is your prayer card. Your prayer team will get it every week and then hold you and your request in our hearts and prayers. That's all I got for you. Bye. Oh, sorry, Holly. That's all I got for you for now.
My turn. Good morning. My name is Holly, and it's good to be in worship with you this morning. We light our candles as we begin worship to symbolize Christ's presence with us. Our scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. When the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our opening prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and everlasting God, as we enter the second week of Advent, we come to you with hearts filled with anticipation and hope, seeking your peace. We are reminded of your promise to send a Savior, a light to dispel the darkness and bring peace to the world. We are grateful for your promise to prepare the way for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to earth as one of us, to live among us as the Prince of Peace. As we prepare for his coming, we ask that you open our hearts to receive him anew. May we make ready our hearts and minds like a highway cleared for a king, so that we may experience the fullness of your love and grace. We lift up our voices in praise and adoration, thanking you for your infinite love and mercy as we prepare our hearts for worship this morning. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We will now have the lighting of the Advent candles.
On the second Sunday of Advent, we light the second candle, the candle of peace. It reminds us that God's peace is available to us all, even in the midst of chaos and turmoil. It reminds us that we can trust him to bring peace to our hearts and to our world. As we wait for the coming of Jesus, we pray for peace in the world, in our communities, and in our own hearts. We also pray for the peace that comes from knowing Christ. Let us pray. O God of peace, fill our hearts with the peace of your Son. Help us to be peacemakers in the world and to live in harmony with all people. Amen.
Love incarnate, love divine. Stars and angels gave the sign. Bow to babe on bended knee, the Savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born, he shall reign
Amen. Thank you, Praise Band. We have a bunch of kiddos here today, and they have a story they want to share with you all that they have practiced, and they are excited to share, right? Are we excited? Yes. I can feel the excitement. I can just feel it. And so we are going to invite the children to tell the story of Jesus' birth. Are y'all ready? Yeah? Is my narrator ready?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do this.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, watching over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid.
Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you, and you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest,
so it was that the shepherds said to one another,
Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.
And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. The wise men came to the manger to worship the Christ child and brought their gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Love came down from heaven that day. You see, God loved us so much that he sent his son to the earth in the form of a baby. A baby? Yes, he came as a baby. He left heaven to be human, to grow with us, to walk among us, and to teach us. He came to show us God's great and perfect love, a love that was so sacrificial that he gave God his only son so that humanity could once again be right with God. And to the ones who accept him, he gives a life of peace and joy and eternity with him. Yes, love came down from heaven that day. That day, and that love is here for us this day. Merry Christmas.
And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and let us
Amen.
Amen. The kiddos are going out to Spark Worship. And if you have a nursery age child who'd like to join us, the nursery will be open now.
Thank you, Jesse. What a labor of love for pulling this all together. Thank you. I don't know how to follow that. Well, thank you. I was thinking of maybe if they left some angel wings, I could wear those while I preached. Would that help? Oh, they took them all. Bummer for us. Okay, during our prayer time today, if you have a prayer request, please fill out the yellow prayer cards and turn those in as the offering plate goes by you. Otherwise, we will come together for a time of prayer. If you'll just take a deep breath in and breathe out every worry of the world. You are in the house of the Lord, where there is power and strength and healing and love. Breathe that in. And breathe out your troubles. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Lord, in every anxious and fearful world that we live in, we ask for you to bring us peace. We ask for peace in our innermost spirit, especially when we are distracted and worried. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray that you would bring us peace. Peace in our relationships with families, friends, co-workers, neighbors. Lord. Lord, bring us peace in our community, in our city and country, where divisiveness seems to reign. Lord. Lord, bring us peace among people globally, especially where there is conflict. Especially, Lord, where people don't even know how to live in peace. Lord, hear our prayers. Center us upon your peace as we prepare to celebrate the coming of your Son into this world. May Jesus, the Prince of Peace, be embodied in us, made real on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Little kids are often afraid of the dark. They don't like to be in a dark room or even go in a dark basement. They don't even want to sleep in a dark room. They're afraid that there are monsters there. Okay, maybe it's not only little kids who are afraid of the dark, right? We all have our fear of dark places. But when someone, maybe it's a parent, a friend, a coworker, no, it couldn't be a coworker because that'd be really bad if you're in the dark place. If you're in a dark place, when someone comes up alongside you and you are no longer alone, all of a sudden that dark place is not so scary anymore. Have you ever found that to be true in your life? When you're not alone, there is power. Power enough to give us a sense of peace. Even little kids will find peace in that dark time. This is the same feeling of peace and safety that we get from Jesus. We sing about it. We hear about it. We saw a play about it. Jesus is Emmanuel, God's very presence. He is our peace. And because he is always with us, we never need to be afraid. Because he is always with us, there is no dark place that we can go that Christ is not there by our side. And we do not have to face any challenges in life alone. We have him by our side, always. We have the power and the presence of Jesus, God with us. Knowing that, knowing it in yourself, in your heart, in your bones, that you will never be alone can give us peace. That's the kind of peace Christ gives. Peace to move forward, even in the dark. This morning is the second Sunday in Advent, and as such, we light the second candle, and that is the candle of peace. And who knows more about peace than the one who prepared the way for the Lord that we find in Scripture this morning? We're going to learn from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, about a faithful journey to Bethlehem. We're going to learn how we can prepare for the coming of the Lord. I'm going to be reading, like Holly did, from the English Standard Version, and you're going to read from the NRSV. If you pull the Bible out from the pew in front of you, it's on page 910. 910. Let's look at it together as we open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to receive a word from God. In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messengers before your face. Who will prepare your way? The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming the baptism of repentance of the forgiveness of sins. In all the country of Judea and all of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John, he was clothed with camel hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes one who is mightier than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of God for the people of God. Advent marks this season of the new liturgical year. The liturgical year that we follow is on a three-year cycle, and it goes through the Bible, and it usually chooses a different gospel account each of those years. This year, we are in the gospel according to Mark. And Mark is the second book in the New Testament. It is one of the official canons of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some say it was written by a person named John Mark, who was a friend of the Apostle Peter in Rome around 70 AD. That makes this gospel the earliest one recorded of all the gospel accounts. Let's name all the gospels if you remember them. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Very good. The word in gospel, the word gospel in Greek is euangelion. Euangelion. You combine eu, E-U, which means good, and angelon, which means messenger. So literally put together, it means good news or glad tidings. In the Greek New Testament, it is used exclusively to refer to the message of Jesus Christ found in our salvation. Euangelion. Euangelion. Sounds like another one of those big old Christian words that we use all the time. Do you recognize it? Evangelism. Euangelion. Evangelism. It comes from the same root, and it means the good news, evangelism, found in Jesus Christ. So this is a geek alert for all you Greek scholars. I'm not one. What word do you think shares its etymology with euangelion? You're right. It's the word angel. Angelion shares the very same meaning as messenger. Angels are often shown in the Bible as messengers of God, carrying out God's will, communicating with us mere humans. And later in the Bible story, the Christmas story, we're going to hear about the angel Gabriel. He's woven all throughout this story. Communicating with people, angelion, messenger from God about the birth of Jesus Christ. Back to the gospel, euangelion, the good news of Jesus Christ found in Mark. As we read Mark, there's some things that we'll notice immediately. We'll see the difference in the other four gospel accounts. Mark is the shortest of all the gospels, which means you should read it easily. One sitting, 16 chapters. You can do it. Mark also doesn't say anything about the nativity. It is, however, a concise and powerful account of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as the earliest of all the Gospels, it is said this forms the genesis of where they get Luke and Matthew from. Did you know that? That Mark, he was something else. His words inspire us, and they challenge us to follow Jesus and to participate in the mission of love and redemption. He wrote, more than likely, to the new Romans, because he was in Rome around 70 AD with Peter. And so he was writing to these new Christians who were not Jewish so that they might better understand Jesus Christ, how he had come to atone for our sins. And he writes in a simple and direct way. If you're a simple or direct person, you might really love what Mark has to say, because he uses vivid language and it's action-packed. It's like a movie, but better, because it's real. I love Mark because of his simple and direct way. And in Mark's gospel, as I said, you will not find the narrative of Jesus' birth. It is not a photo album of Jesus' baby years. No, you find a full-grown Jesus. And it is focused primarily on his public appearances, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection. Here in Mark's gospel, we find a grown-up and powerful Jesus, which is really a juxtaposition, isn't it, for us to have that reading here the second Sunday in Advent. We had a big party about Jesus as a baby, but our scripture reference points us to a grown-up and powerful Jesus Christ. And it points us to set a stage for our faith journey, as we listen to what John the Baptizer said. He wants us to be prepared for our faith journey. And that's the very first thing we need to be as we start this Christmas tide. We need to be prepared. You remember the words you heard? Prepare the way for the Lord. It's written in Mark. But it was also written in the account that we read from Isaiah. See, like any journey of faith, we are called to be prepared, to get prepared, shouting out, prepare the way for the Lord. Preparation is the first step of our journey. There's an old-time poem I found I really loved. I want to read it to you. This poem says, sharpened quill, a steady hand, seeds in soil, a waiting land, muscles honed, a mind at ease, preparation brings its own peace. Preparation brings us peace. And today we're going to consider, are we prepared for the coming of the Lord in our own lives? Are we prepared to make a way for the Lord, for ourselves and others? In the Gospel of Mark, we find us this call, loud call, to be prepared. It is the very reason John the Baptizer had gone out into the wilderness in the desert, and he was out by the Jordan River calling people to a baptism of repentance and forgiveness. You know, we are all too are called. We're called to repentance as well. The word repent simply means to turn around. I should have that posted in my car because I repent a lot. For real, it's just to turn around. If you're going in the wrong direction, what do you need to do? Turn around and go the other way. And so John the Baptizer calls people to turn from their life, to turn around and get prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word repent means that we get prepared for Christ when we recognize and when we acknowledge our shortcomings and we turn away. Every behavior. You know the behaviors. You know the ones that hurt us and hurt others. And this involves genuine remorse, seeking forgiveness, and actively striving to change our ways. Our faith journey will always lead us through a time of repentance, a change of heart, a change in our mind, a change in our behavior. We are called to repent. And this journey will align us better with ourselves, with God, and with each others. And we can practice Christ's righteousness when John proclaimed in his baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He said, this is what John said, there is one coming after me that will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Following John's call for repentance, the faithful traveler must make a serious examination of their life. and a commitment to turning away from sin and aligning their life once more with God through Christ. See, people who came to John were seeking to be cleansed. They wanted a spiritual cleansing, and they did that through baptism in the Jordan River. But we don't have to go to Israel. We don't have to go to the Jordan River to be baptized. We too can repent right here, right now, wherever we are, and we can be freed for that spiritual cleansing promised us through prayer and confession. Now, once we are baptized, in the Methodist we believe once baptized, always baptized, we then begin to live through the waters of Jesus Christ. Made clean, we die to our old self, our sinful self, and we're raised up new in Christ. That's the symbolism of baptism. And through baptism, we become part of a community. We belong to the community of God. And the community of believers are found where? Well, mostly on Sunday at churches. Because we come together as a community of faith, here to support and love and care for one another. I remember when I finally turned to Jesus Christ, and I did, in fact, experience a baptism of the Spirit. And I remember it because I was changed. And all of a sudden, I found myself having a deep desire to learn more about this Jesus Christ. I had a desire to grow in my faith. I had a desire to share this message with others because I saw for myself how Jesus loved me. And I saw for myself how Jesus had healed my life. And I couldn't do anything else but share that message with others. So what I did is I was in a local church, and I asked them if I could start a women's Bible study. And they said yes. And so I started a women's Bible study on Sunday called Women of Faith. It was only for women. You got that from the name, right? And I started that, and some 30 years later, that church still has that class, Women of Faith meeting. That was a genesis from Jesus Christ moving in my spirit to start it. It was nothing I said or did on my own. I couldn't have done it. And then I was called into working with Emmaus. First, I went to a walk to Emmaus, and then I began to serve on walks to Emmaus. And pretty soon, I found myself serving in Kairos Emmaus, which is in prison, and then also another kind of prison with youth ministry called Chrysalis. They keep you awake a lot longer than the prisoners do. And again, I didn't choose these things arbitrarily. They just came to me. And God, I said, God, use me. Show me what you want me to do. And these opportunities just started coming and coming and coming. I was called to go to seminary. And the reason I went to seminary is not because I wanted to stand up here and preach or be ordained. I wanted to learn so much about Jesus so I could share that with others. Because I didn't feel like I was competent enough to share the message of Jesus Christ without seminary. I was wrong. You don't need seminary to share Jesus Christ. You just need to have a life that is open to Christ and changed. You just need to be loving and caring as Christ exampled us, and you can share that message of faith. I wonder what God's calling you to do or to lead or to share with others. How are you preparing the way of the Lord? See, the church provides you a place right here to continue to learn, to grow in your faith, and to study the scriptures. That helps you continue your journey of faith. And here at Lotus Hills, we have classes that will help you grow in your faith. One of the classes is called the Pathfinders, which I find ironic when we're talking about the path. Today, the Pathfinders is a Bible study that meets every Sunday at 9 a.m. It's led by Roy Baldwin. Roy, are you here? You see Roy? If you want to study the Bible seriously, he is the man to follow. Go to his class. Learn about the Bible. Grow in your faith. There are also going to be two more Bible studies joining in January. One we're going to call Christ Connections, and that is simply a place where we can connect with Jesus Christ and each other as we learn and grow in faith. That'll begin in January on Sundays at 8:45 to 9:30. And the third class that we're going to offer in January is for youth. You know, we have a youth cooking program. It's called Mesa. And they cook, what, once a month? That's all kids need. This cloth is going to be called casa, which means house. And it'll be a safe place for youth to gather and meet and learn more about Jesus in themselves. And I hear there might be food. Michelle told me, where there's food, and Debbie, where there's food, they will come. And they even chose that time. Rather than meeting at 11:30, they wanted to meet at 8:45, just like school. So these classes will start in January, and I invite you to become part of this community of faith, either by attending one of these classes or volunteering to lead one of these classes. If God is calling you to serve, come tell me, and we'll help you serve. There's also women's Bible studies that meet during the week, usually around 10 a.m. with Gail Schubar and Karen. Are you the leader of that one? Oh, she's off in the office. They'll begin meeting again in January. If you're a midweek person and you have some time in the morning, come join us for Bible study. Maybe God is calling you. Maybe he's calling you to lead a Bible study. Maybe he's like what he called me to do, learn so much and share so much with others. Maybe you have that burning desire in your heart to serve Jesus Christ. That's the power of the Holy Spirit in you. If you don't think the Holy Spirit's there, just see where you're getting ooched to serve. Following the example of Jesus Christ, we must be rooted in humility and service. Did you know that we have some 22 different outreach opportunities and various ways for you to serve others in mission and action right here? They call this the move sheet. It was Jenny's invention. Mission Outreach Opportunities. Moo. Thank you, Jenny. This is just a guideline for you to look through and say, gosh, we do all that here? Where can I become involved? Just today, Angel Tree Ministry is ending after 3 weeks where we were guided to purchase gifts for some 40 students who may otherwise not have received Christmas gifts. Thank you. That's doing Christ ministry here. And how do you think all this ministry work happens? How do you think that happens? It happens through you. When God calls you to a particular ministry, it happens through you. That's the only way it can happen, is when God calls you to serve. And boy, do you serve here. Maybe you've participated in one of these 2022 missions through this year, and you know what it's like, and it is open to every age group and every level of ability. A life in Jesus Christ is a life lived out in humility and in service, and we are all called to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ, regardless of our position or circumstance. And there's no age limit. May I say this to you? There is no retirement in the service to God. I know sometimes we get old and tired, but there is no retirement in God. As a matter of fact, if you just think about it, look at Exodus 3, how God can and will use us. That's the story of Moses. Moses was 80 when God called him for the third time into active ministry. 80. And John the Baptist's own mother, Elizabeth, was an old woman when she conceived him. Sorry. And then there's a story of Jesus' baptism in the temple when he's 8 years old. And who did he meet at the temple? Anna. Anna had been serving the temple since becoming a widow 7 years before. And at that time, she was 84. So how old does that make her when she met Jesus? 91. You think you can retire from serving the Lord? No. God can and will call you anytime. And what do you think about young people? You think you're too young to serve the Lord? Let's look at the example of King David, who was a shepherd boy, the lowest of low, a shepherd boy, Samuel, out tending sheep. And God made him the king of Israel. And what about that woman named Mary, thought to have been a teenager when God called upon her to birth the King of Kings, the Messiah. A teenager If you think you're too young to serve, God has other plans. Because in God's economy, you're never too young, you're never too old to be called into service. And so I want to encourage you and tell you that your journey of faith is a lot more than you might have thought it had been. And it's a lot more than this simple pilgrimage to the Jordan River to be baptized. Your life of faith is a calling. And God is calling you to prepare the way for the Lord. How will you do that in your own life and in your own family? This is a journey of repentance, confession, forgiveness, humility, action, and service to others, and living a life that embodies that teachings of Jesus Christ. How have you prepared the way of the Lord in your life? If you're ready, and if you haven't already devoted your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to invite you to say this humble prayer with me. And you can say this prayer aloud, or you can say it in your heart. But it is one to give our lives over to Christ yet again, either to commit ourselves to Christ for the very first time or to recommit where we're at now, to turn our lives around and head back on that path that leads to the way of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Please forgive me of all my transgressions. I know that you offered yourself on the cross to give me salvation. I accept your gift, and I ask you now to be the Lord of my life as I commit or recommit my life to you. Amen. Congratulations on your new life in Jesus Christ. Blessings be upon you for recommitting your life to Jesus Christ. What's next in your journey? Well, for some, it will mean accepting the invitation to learn and grow in Bible study. For others, it will mean serving in various mission projects and mission ministries and outreach opportunities. And for some of you, it will mean joining this United Methodist Church and serving Jesus Christ right here. I'm delighted that in a few minutes, just even today, we're going to welcome Lori and Paul Vinton into membership in our church. They are stepping out in faith because that's what we do here. We are a journey on your pathway to growing in faith. Friends, we're here for you, and we long for you to join us on this journey. Jesus longs for you to prepare the way. And if you've been waiting for just such a time, today is the day. And now is the time. I believe that God is calling you for a life in Christ. And I praise God for that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
It's now time for our offering. I invite you to prepare your heart to offer your presence to our Lord. Along with our regular offering, we would like to offer the staff a gift of love from this congregation for all the blessings they have given throughout the year. If you would like to contribute toward a love offering, please put a note in your check or offering envelope saying love offering. We are very blessed to be able to offer our gifts to do ministry here and throughout the world as we offer it in peace and love. This is why I give. I so enjoy so many of the things that we have here and that we do here. And I'm blessed. It's a joy to know that our gifts will keep all these things going. Will the ushers please come forward to receive our morning offering?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we bring our gifts today as symbols of our commitment to follow Jesus and live according to your will. We thank you for the abundance you have bestowed upon us, and we pray we may use these gifts to serve others and spread your love throughout the world. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
So, as I promised you earlier, I'm going to invite the Vintons to come forward that you might meet and greet them, and we might ask them those questions about joining our church. This is Paula and Lori Vinton, and they come to us for a transfer of their membership from a church that's not far away. Lori, they're going to find out anyway. They walked across the parking lot and have augmented our former Presbyterian section that is now United Methodist. We're just so delighted that you're here and you've joined us in membership, and that we can be for you a place of faith and witness, and that you can be for Jesus a servant in this place as well. We're so delighted. So I'm going to ask you just those two simple questions, one of faith and one of service. Will you serve the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord, Master, Savior, and friend? If so, you can say,
I will with God's help.
They said, I will with God's help. And the second question I ask you is one of service. Will you commit your lives to service here in this local congregation of the United Methodist Church and do all that you can to further its mission with your time, your talent, your gifts, your service, and your witness?
I will.
They didn't say with God's help this time. Paul did. Paul said it. With God's help, I will. Then I welcome you as members of this United Methodist Church, Helotes Hills United Methodist Church, and it is a wonderful day for us in this community of faith. So faith, as your response, I'm going to ask you, will you continue to do everything within your power to uphold this church in your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say amen.
Amen.
That's a lot of support and a lot of love here. I thank God for you. Will you join me later as we walk down and we'll stand outside and greet people?
Yes.
Okay. Welcome, Lori and Paul. What an awesome day in the Lord. If you too have decided to join this church, this faith community, and make your membership known, then come talk to me. If you made a commitment to Jesus Christ for the first time ever, let me know. If you've recommitted your life to Jesus Christ, let me know too, because I want to be here to support you in your faith journey, as all your brothers and sisters do as well. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. What an exciting day. I'm so glad to be at Helotes Hills United Methodist Church today. How about you? Will you please stand in body or spirit as the mission statement that we're charged to go into the world to do? If you believe it, say it with me. The mission of Helotes Hills United Methodist Church is to grow and nurture disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community and the world. Amen to that. Boy, we must be living really good, because after that lengthy sermon in the kids' nativity, thank you, parents, for bringing this beautiful. It's still only 11 o'clock. Praise the Lord. So I send you forth into the world to invite others to the cantata. It is a beautiful musical extravaganza which honors Christ in the miracle of Jesus' birth. So come, join us. All right, I'm going to charge you to go forth in the name of the living Jesus Christ and prepare the way of the Lord in your own lives, in your community, and in the world. Amen?
Amen.
Let us go forth in grace and peace.